The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com. Call Midas Resources today to protect your future at 1-800-686-2237.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement will run out of money in mid-August. Customs and Border Protection will run out of money in mid-September, and that doing nothing in Congress is not an option. You're not declaring victory. This could be seasonal, but the numbers are dropping. Nevertheless, the recent rise in illegal migration requires a sustained, aggressive campaign by our government in response.
Jay Johnson, Secretary of Homeland Security, talking about immigration, prattling on and on while so many others say it's nothing but inaction. Hey, hey, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. In fact, interesting story. A lot of the border sheriffs are saying this gridlock is all due on the front lines. This crisis is because of the fact nothing is happening in Congress, and there is no new money coming in to add Border Patrol agents, get these judges going, immigration judges, and for goodness sake, process the people waiting for hearings, especially the unaccompanied children, who in many cases sit on one of several bases in our country right now. When does the flow stop across the border? It's not as big as it was a month ago, but it's more like a trickle and then a surge, a trickle and then a surge, as it was described to me by somebody in El Paso. So this whole debate, while Congress gets ready to pack its bags and bolt for the summer, has exploded after the House Democrats said they were going to slash the president's request by $1 billion and include $225 million to help Israel battle Hamas in Gaza and $615 million to fight the fires in the West, in Washington especially. So here we go again. It's not one issue, it's several, sticking a few things in there. And what they're saying at the border is the problem is the people in D.C. are completely divorced from this. They have no sense of the reality of what's happening here. None. And how many people have been arrested in South Texas in the last few months? It's staggering. Speaker of the House John Boehner demanded again that any request include changes to a 2008 law that would speed up deportation of illegals from Central American countries, El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, which is the bulk of what's happening. John Cornyn, the Senate Minority Whip, says, yeah, unfortunately, it looks like we're on track to do absolutely nothing. To do nothing about this. Congress starts 5 weeks off starting August 1st. Tick, 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 tick. So you have all these minors that are part of that trickle, then the surge, the trickle, then the surge. You get what I'm saying. Humanitarian crisis. It's more than that. And if they don't fix the problem, what does it change? It gets rid of people who are stuck in a virtual line, we'll call it, but it doesn't address further problems. It doesn't do that. So it's interesting. The governor of Texas makes news because he decides, you know, I'm going to deploy the National Guard. I'm going to send them out because we can't just leave our people exposed this way. We're at that point. We're at that breaking point. We got to do it. Very sad, very disheartening to see this happening. And I can't imagine being in a law enforcement role and having to deal with it. Can't imagine it. When you see it day in and day out, you don't care about whatever the nonsense is in between. You care that you're just getting crushed and you're trying desperately to exhale, but you can't because you're worried about who's coming in. You're trying to sort out the details of the people who do come in, and you're hoping that this process will get some giddy up in it because you can't handle the amount of cases and people and movement that you have right now. And that's pretty much on target with what I've been told. So we come back to the same thing. What do we expect the people who we elect to do? And how do we hold their feet to the fire? As Izzy has said in Missouri, as Dan in Texas has said, as so many others have told us where they have called, pick up the phone. It won't take long. Let your opinion fly to your elected representative. And you might make that difference if enough people do it. Trust me. They don't want to lose an election, especially if they've been there for a very long time. They want to hold on to that chokehold. But the gridlock in D.C. is part of what's undermining this whole thing. It really, really is. So with this willy-nilly of changing as we go along, now is coming home to roost, too. From immigration to the Affordable Care Act, it's just not, for so many people, it's not working. A three-judge panel ruled the government could not provide subsidies to enrollees on the Affordable Care Act insurance exchanges run by the feds. Can't do it. You just can't usurp the law and think that it's fine, it's smooth sailing. And pretty much it looked like they were going to do whatever they needed to do to pull all this together. So the real sad reality is, how much stock do you put in the federal government versus your own state? And how much control do you have? And certainly in the medical system, we don't have a lot of control. I think you pray for a good doctor and you fight things that come in because usually that's what happens. You miss something and then you call and they say, oh, yeah, we'll take that charge off or whatever it is. So whoever comes in 2016, boy, they have their work cut out for them. Big time. Big time. Coming up on America Tonight, we're going to talk with Julie Rendleman. She's got an interesting case she's going to comment on where the father spanked his child. This had to do with an 8-year-old boy for cursing at people who were at his house. And a state appellate court ruled that the father used reasonable force when he spanked his 8-year-old son for cursing at an adult. This case has been going since 2012. Open-handed, what's excessive, corporal punishment, all these came into play. Can you imagine how those lives were torn up over that? We'll talk about it a little bit more here on the flip side on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. places, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Talk about, is it justice or not, here on America Tonight. A state appeals court has ruled that a Long Island dad used reasonable force when he spanked his 8-year-old son for cursing at an adult. So the state appellate division dismissed a child neglect proceeding, actually, against this father just last week. This happened back in October 2012 during a party at a friend's house. Julie Rendleman, a former deputy bureau chief at the Kings County District Attorney's Office. If you're looking at New York, that would be Brooklyn, joins us now. Hey, Jules, thanks for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
So your reaction, first of all, your reaction initially to what happened here as the story was flushed out and the initial court case.
Well, it sounds like what happened was that the child cursed at someone at a party. The father spanked him with an open hand. And I think probably what led to a involvement in the courts was that there were allegations that when the child was brought home, that the father then later beat him with either a strap or a belt. I have a feeling that's what brought it to the forefront. And had it not been for that, or at least those allegations, we would never be hearing about this case.
Yeah, and so it's always explosive, right, when you talk about a child and you talk about, of course, any kind of abuse. And as you said, it's because of what happened afterwards, that's why this thing really got big. right?
Yeah, I think what the court did in their decision was they distinguished the two. They said, you know, an open-handed spank is certainly does not rise to the level of being anything but reasonable force, and that they said that there was really no evidence of the allegations that he had been beaten further with the belt. I think that if there had been, if those facts had been proven, I think we might have had a different result.
Yeah. So no surprise with the state appeals court ruling that this Long Island dad used, as we've just now explained and you've talked about, a reasonable force.
It certainly doesn't surprise me. I think that, you know, courts have to be very careful when they step in when it comes to parenting. And at least for me, look, I grew up with a mother who chased me and pulled my hair. I think that, or at least tried to pull my hair. I think an open-handed spanking with nothing more and no physical injuries and no, you know, no bruising, nothing. I think that the courts want to kind of stay away from that. And I think that's what they're saying they're doing.
Yeah, because here's the thing, too, and you know this. As I said, this happened in October of 2012. So then this becomes a big story. This is highlighted. And that's got to affect the young boy, and it has to affect the father, right? It affects their lives.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this case went to family court. The father was accused of neglect. It got very serious very quickly, and I think the end result was as it should be.
Yeah, and so when you talk about that with family court, you know, certainly you don't want some of these horrific stories to fall through the cracks. But now we've also had some stories where things get ridiculously blown up, and then it gets to this point, like this story. Luckily, it ends with the appeals court saying, no way. But as I just mentioned, the problem is then you're dragging people through the system, and I think that's really tough, especially on kids. Don't you?
I agree with you. The only thing that distinguishes this case again is the fact that there were further allegations. And I think that really delineates it from the normal case where you just have a parent giving an open-handed, quick smack to a child. And so because of that, I think that that's what escalated this case to the level it did. Now, obviously, every state's different. You know, this is New York. There are other states like Minnesota. I think that there was a case where the court said that it was reasonable for a child to be spanked with a paddle, I think, 36 times. I have a problem with that, but they found no abuse in Minnesota. So each state is different.
Yeah. When you were in your position, as I've mentioned, that you're the former deputy bureau chief at the Kings County District Attorney's Office, I mean, I would have to say that you probably saw some horrific things that came across your desk with involving kids, maybe, did you?
I did. I dealt with mostly homicide cases, and unfortunately, sadly, I dealt with several cases involving the death of children.
Yeah, and as a result of that, I mean, the thing there is, as you pursue that, when you feel as though, I mean, I know you had some high-profile cases. Is there a moment when, I mean, it's tough and you go through the details and go through the process, and once you get the result and you feel like it's just and justice has been served, is that kind of the, I don't want to say celebration, but is that the thing that soothes what is so rough to investigate?
I wish I could tell you that there's any level of satisfaction. I think no one ever wins, especially when a child is the victim of any type of serious assault or death. You try to get justice for the family as best you can, and so there's always a part of you that feels good about that. But at the end of the day, I have children myself, and it's quite unbearable to imagine yourself in the position of someone who, as a child, that's either seriously injured or killed. So it's never been easy, but obviously you would rather the result be something that puts the person responsible away for as long as possible.
Yeah. Julie Redelman, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And as we continue in for justice, you know, for all in this segment, here's a horrific story. The three teenagers that admitted to police that they attacked two homeless men who were found dead, actually, in a place where I used to live, Albuquerque, New Mexico. That happened over the weekend. And the boys were 15, 16, and 16. They used bricks and a metal pole to kill the men. Oh, and this is all in a criminal complaint. And they accused each of them of two counts of murder. So a judge set bond at $5 million each during a hearing at the beginning of the week. All three are being prosecuted as adults. I think that's just, and that's the good news there in a very sad and twisted story. The two youngest are being held in a youth detention center. The 15-year-old told the an investigator that they had randomly attacked homeless people throughout Albuquerque over the past year, including more than 50 people since moving to the neighborhood several months ago. Wow. And let me get this right, too. It's 15, 16, and 18. So the youngest was 15, the oldest was 18. So the bodies of the two men, they were found on mattresses in a field across the street from a home where two of the kids actually lived. And a third man told police that he managed to escape the attack. He recognized the teens despite the fact that they had T-shirts covering their heads when they were doing this. And the young boy, as they, in the criminal complaint, as they were talking to him, he said he was very, very angry over the breakup with his longtime girlfriend when he went with the older boys to what he called Mob the Men. That's what he said in a sworn statement, and explained that mob meant that they were going to attack them and rob them. And I'll tell you, people in Albuquerque, when they especially heard the number, 50 people since moving into the neighborhood. He also told police they used several of those cinder blocks and that pole I mentioned and some sticks in the attack that was an hour long. And using the cinder block, and this is why the deaths, using the cinder block as a weapon over 10 times. Oh, my, oh, my. Just terrible. That's sort of that blank thing of, is there anything behind their eyes? And when you hear these kinds of stories, and the 16-year-old actually went even a step further. He told the detective that afterwards he looked at himself in the mirror and saw the devil. And I guess the oldest one distanced himself from most of the details of the attack and threw it on the other kids. He said the other boys were using bricks and the weapons I described, bricks and sticks, and the metal fence pole to hit him while he was the lookout. So he's saying that, yeah, he pushed one of them down. He picked up a stick, but he wasn't the one who was doing the attacking. It was really the other two. So here's the question. What's the fair thing? What should they get? They're being tried as adults, have attacked more than 50 people, but that's not what they're being tried for, what they will be tried for. It's for this homeless murders, for the two homeless men that they killed, and then of course the third one got away. Think about that. What should they rightfully get as they go through the system? Terrible. Justice for all. Man, oh man, let's only hope that happens. Stay with us, more to come here on America Tonight.
What good is a big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Topping weekend counts on this edition of America Tonight. Donald Sterling's controversy just continues to be the gift, sadly, that keeps on giving. Los Angeles Clippers interim CEO Richard Parsons testified on Tuesday that coach Doc Rivers told him, "I'm out of here," if Donald Sterling is the owner of the team. Parsons made that statement in a trial to determine whether Sterling's wife, Shelley Sterling, can sell the team for $2 billion, there's your giant number, to the former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer, who really, really wants it. This case is going to take a lot of wacky twists before then, including the fact that we found out that Sterling is in debt up to his neck, although it's hard to feel sorry for him when, if he sells the team, he'll have plenty of do-re-mi, if you know what I mean, and that's some pretty big numbers that are being thrown around. The biggest is still that $2 billion, with a B, for the team that many are hoping eventually will be what ends up happening here. But I think that this court case has to do its thing, and we'll see where it ultimately ends up, I guess, is the best way to put that, because it still could drag out. heading into the next season. Because believe it or not, here we are in July. Pretty soon you'll have camps, and before you know it, we're looking at October and we're looking at serious games, and where will the Clippers ultimately find themselves at that point? Here's a really wild story about a Kentucky town opening a filling station to the public. And you might say, well, what does that mean? It's the Somerset Fuel Center. They just opened it up. They're selling regular unleaded gas for $3.36 a gallon. It's a little bit lower than some of the nearby folks around them. In the first 3 hours, 75 people fueled up at the No Frills station. There's no snacks, no repairs, only regular unleaded gas, period. That's what that means. The mayor says the station was created in response to all this complaining and whining by the people in the town about these high gas prices in Somerset, which has about 11,000 people near Lake Cumberland, which is a very, very popular fishing and boating place, if you know anything about that area. So they decided, okay, so this is what we're going to do. A municipal-run station that will benefit drivers and leave it as it is, taxpayer-supported. This is your free market at work. I wonder if more people will try to adopt that. I mean, it really is. I saw pictures of it. It really is no frills, to say the least. This continues to be one of the more intriguing top stories, I think, that people are jawing about it, because you've got the FAA telling us, oh, no, the flights are grounded to Tel Aviv, to that airport, for 24 hours because of a rocket from Gaza that landed in the area near the runway. Delta and United said they were suspending service, no way, between the U.S. and Israel indefinitely. U.S. Airways scrapped its Tel Aviv service Tuesday, saying they're going to monitor the situation in regards to upcoming flights. The FAA said that the ban on the flights started at 2:15 in the afternoon on Tuesday because of the rocket that was so close to that airport. The airport is about 50 miles north of Gaza, within range of the rockets, by the way, being fired by the Hamas folks. So I would have to think that there would be people that wouldn't want to get on those planes. The shelling, the rocket fire, has been out of this world the last 2 weeks between Israel and Hamas, and it doesn't look like that's dying down anytime soon. So far, there is no ceasefire. A lot of conversation, but no ceasefire. We told you about the kidnapped girls, the Nigerian girls. Now 11 parents of the kidnapped girls died from attack and stress. How awful is that? This is the story beneath the story that you hadn't heard, because there's been about 200 of the kidnapped girls, and they, I guess, for fear they never see their daughters again. What's being said is after these Islamic extremists captured them, most of them, the bulk of them, about 3 months ago, these parents died in their hometown of Chibok because of what's happened in the heart failure and the high blood pressure and other illnesses. The trauma due to the mass abduction has led so many people to fall ill. That I certainly have heard of what stress can do to you, and I know all of you have, but the fact that 11 tied to the kidnappings died from those ailments, from massive stress off the scales, very, very sad. Boko Haram, by the way, which is the group that kidnapped the girls, is closing in on Chibok, attacking villages closer and closer to the town. And the ones who survived the assaults are swarming into the town. The population has exploded. There's a food crisis. There's shortages, of course, of money and fuel. And it's a mess as they try to keep this on the radar screen and people interested in what's happening, I believe, there, because they figure if more people know, maybe somebody will come and help. What a sad, state of affairs that is, isn't it? And with more things like the Malaysian airline being shot down, like our crisis at the border, which is right here in our face, and what's happening with Israel, and a slew of other things, the ink or the time that the kidnapped girls got has certainly fallen by the wayside, if you will, and that's because of other things that are in a crisis mode. And not that there aren't people that are trying to help with the to try to get back those girls, but there are so many other things that have moved the needle. Again, it kind of takes a back seat, sad to say. And then you hear this story, and it just is so depressing that the people are overwhelmed with so much grief that they don't even, that's a not wanting to survive thing. That's your heart explodes and your blood pressure has gone through the roof because you just cannot take it, just can't take it. All right, speaking of the borders, how about this? One of the conversations that I heard earlier in the day was from Governor McAuliffe, who is saying 2007, if we re-rack the clock, we would say shut borders down. We would say that's what we need to do. But because it exploded so much in conversation, he's not talking about the border crisis now, because he was one of those people who really felt this, you got to just shut it down. And because of that, and because of what we're seeing in the Gallup polls, that the immigration, illegal aliens now is on the top of America's concerns. It was just back in December of last year that McAuliffe told the room full of reporters that he had a vision for transparency, of working closely with the media to get Virginians the information that they needed. And one of the things he talked about was the crisis, the immigration crisis. And he said, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, we all agree you got to shut the borders down. People who are coming into this nation are taking our jobs. Now he's kind of backing away as all of this is happening and not wanting to necessarily relive those comments. And there's been a Virginia Freedom of Information Act that has been filed from watchdog.org for any records in the governor's office related, by the way, to unaccompanied minors in Virginia. Because remember, once somebody's getting in, it's still about the destination, and apparently they've had a few problems with that as well in Virginia. It's not that people are, the kids are coming in, and they're staying where the border town is. No, 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 no. Often they're going someplace else, and apparently that's one of the places, not surprisingly. But McAuliffe is trying to kind of not necessarily walk back his words, but not have to bring him up, especially now that he's governor. It's one thing when you're trying to get the office, and maybe this is the problem we have with so many politicians, and then it's a completely different thing once you're actually in the office. And then finally, quickly, this one, investigators think the missing pregnant military spouse that we've talked about might have been shot. This is another crazy story. You see the photograph of the couple, and they look so happy. Erin Corwin, just 19 years old, with her husband, Marine Corporal Jonathan Corwin, and now they're saying that the missing pregnant wife of this California Marine might have been shot while hunting with a married ex-Marine with whom she was having an affair. Court documents say on the day she disappeared 3 weeks ago, the 20-year-old had planned to meet with Christopher Brandon Lee to spend a special day together on a hunting trip. Oh my, oh my. Lee was arrested on July 4th. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Systematic processes in place for illegal inducements and improper benefits while in school, and early payments from agents, and we still have a pretty seedy environment in the summer basketball environment and in the growing 7-on-7 environment in football. I certainly agree with what was said about there always going to be some level of cheating. I certainly agree with that. My only assertion is we ought to arm John Duncan and the NCAA enforcement staff with the tools that are required to get to the bottom of some of these, the worst of these violations.
The voice of Bob Bowlesby, who is the commissioner of the Big 12. You know, they have these media days, all of the conferences, and what seemingly would be just another one of those boring but nice, hey, here's what's happening in the conference, and we're looking forward to the year. He decided he was going to rip the head of the NCAA in half, and good for him, talking about cheating and what happens in college sports. I think part of the problem of that is with recruiting, and with the recruiting comes the other half of that, where you've got athletes who are not allowed to earn any kind of money. And then there's the temptation of somebody trying to take care of them, and the rest is history, and some programs have have blown up because of it. And I think that these kids should be able to work off campus. Why not? Other scholarship folks are allowed to do that. So if you get an academic scholarship, you can earn money off campus, no problem. Why couldn't that, for example, be a possibility? Matt, what do you think? I think there's such a stranglehold. Is they're like the mafia, and they're making so much money hand over fist. I mean, finally there's a playoff system in college football, but there's still, I think, a lot of problems with the way they handle their business.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with you, and we've talked about this before, how the entire NCAA is going to have to be overhauled at some point because it's a billion-dollar industry with these kids who are basically playing for free. And I know people say, oh, you're getting an education, but the education dollar, like, it doesn't equate to what is going on with NCAA athletics, especially in the premier sports, basketball and football.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we'll see. The more the conversation is out there, maybe the more of a possibility that there could be some change. And I think that's what he was trying to affect, that he was going to say what he thought, and that was it. And it has become, on sports radio and elsewhere, it's become part of the conversation. It's stirring the pot, I think, in a good way.
And I think also, too, if you look at, I mean, some of the backers behind leaving the NCAA the way it is are people. I mean, the NBA and the NFL are getting free minor league teams. They go from colleges, they pluck the best players, and they are in their major leagues. Whereas, baseball, you have a minor league system. The NFL, the minor league system is college football. The same thing with the NBA. Now they instituted that 1-year rule. I just think when you have, before. Early on, in the 60s, the 70s, maybe even like the early 80s, there wasn't a ton of money in college sports. Now there is. They're getting billion-dollar TV contracts. They're making all this money off the NCAA tournament, all the money off the college football playoffs. There's got to be some way where this is going back to the people who are actually making the product on the field or the court.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll tell you what, it's just not fair. It's inequitable, almost immoral, I think, in some cases, depending on the schools we're talking about and some of the history there. And it needs to be changed, without a doubt, absolutely. So good for him for pointing it out. Since we're on the subject, quickly here with a little bit of sports, a guy who I found to be such a class act, and I had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with him, Robert Newhouse, died of a very long illness. He was 64. Newhouse was a Dallas Cowboy and played fullback for the Cowboys from 72 to 83. He was part of the second Super Bowl, Tom Landry-run Super Bowl team, had a huge play in Super Bowl 10 against the Denver Broncos. It's worth describing to you. He described it to me when I interviewed him so many years ago. With however many minutes left, less than 8 minutes left, he got a handoff from Roger Staubach, headed left, broke left. Then he pulled up and lofted a pass to a receiver just over the arm of a Denver defender to give the Cowboys their final points in a 27-10 win. And he was such a well-liked man, making the rounds long after he had retired. And sadly, it was in 2010 that he fell ill, and that's why it's been kind of he's had a stroke, so he's had declining health pretty much since then. But he really was an inspirational kind of guy. He spent years after his career with the Cowboys, working in the player relations department. He worked with players in a whole bunch of different roles, and he was absolutely well-liked. And boy, you got to think of his family, just 64 years old, 64 years old. The good news is he had his wife and four kids at the Mayo Clinic with him in Rochester, Minnesota, where he died from the effects of heart disease. And worth mentioning, it is time for football once again. You know what that means? That in the next couple of months, we'll have our weekly challenge, our Nail the Score challenge, where we randomly pick the game of the week in the NFL. And you call in, and it doesn't matter if you know anything about football, and you give us a guess. What team is going to win of the two? What you think the final score is going to be? If you win, you clear the prize closet. Woohoo! Always good to be the person that clears the prize closet. We've had a couple of winners over the years and haven't now in the last 3 years. Maybe you can break that trend and be the next winner. It's a whole lot of fun, and we do it on our Wednesday into Thursday show. So make sure you pay attention for that. There'll be more information in the upcoming weeks. It's not about football. It's about the game. It's about guessing. It's all about that. And we end on this note for this hour anyway, talking about the Apple iPhone now deciding to go big. And always the thing with them was that it was handy, it was going to be lighter, it was going to be more compact. Now they realize, let's get a chunk of the Samsung business. Let's make the screen bigger. So that's what they're doing. They have iPhones, two large screen iPhones that are coming out in December, 4.7 inches and 5.5 inches. But they say by December 30th. So it'll be much bigger. Bigger, lighter, and maybe people will want to get that iPhone. Apple stayed with the small displays on their iPhones, even as the smartphone makers decided to roll out the bigger screens. Because, you know, people are reading on the phones. Everything comes from the phone. Is it even really a phone anymore? It's a texting device. It's a linking up to your other social media accounts. It seems to be everything but the pure phone, the cell phone. I mean, it is, but it's used for so many other things. And analysts are already forecasting Apple will report sales of about 35.9 million iPhone units for the 3 months that ended in June 30th. So that would be up 15% from a year earlier. With the large screens, I don't know. Are they going to be able to edge out and steal away some of the Samsung folks? Who knows, but what a problem to have, huh? Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.